So Dave, this is actually based on a real event. And in this case, it actually happened to you coming back from Quebec. Tell us what happened and where you did land and why, and whether you would do that again.
Well, you know, it's exactly like the scenario at the beginning, 7,500 feet flying across the border, the gear pump light comes on and it's like, wow, that's not supposed to happen. And then, you know, you troubleshoot the problem and then realize that the gear won't come down. You can get the gear up and keep them up, but you can't bring them down. And at the time I was thinking, I'm the luckiest guy on the planet because I'm going to the one border crossing station that has a lake. So, you know, slam dunk, I'm going to the lake. And I was feeling really good about that right until I got to the lake, flew over, saw how obstructed this seaplane base really was, how shallow the water going to it was, and that the wind conditions were particularly adverse. But you know, at the time I didn't really think much of it. I went ahead and landed in the lake, taxied to the dock, and all that time that I'm water taxiing to the dock, I'm wishing I've made another choice. I was wishing I could be anywhere else because, you know, there were rocks coming up out of the water. You could see these jagged rocks right below the surface, and I just thought, I'm going to damage this airplane and be stranded.
Well, luckily for you in that case, you had Mark Robidoux in a different airplane who actually did land at Jackman and got to tell CBP, hey, he's just down the street over there, hopefully still afloat. And you say you would do it differently now that you know. Our scenario pilot presumably does know because he's landed there before. But you also say in your intro here that, you know, CBP is remarkably understanding. That's not what I've ever heard. So I'm curious, how do you know that, Dave Flaunt the Border Hirschman?
They're remarkably understanding about aviation safety related issues because it says in their manual that they, you know, we get kind of a pass on that. They're not at all understanding when it comes to did you phone ahead? Are you hitting your EAPIS time on target? Now, there's lots of things that they can be really ugly about, but the aviation safety piece, you know, they really don't have much of a choice. If a pilot diverts for weather or mechanical reasons, that's built into their manual.
Paul, how do you feel about that? Any thoughts after you stop laughing?
Yeah, I read this part about CBP is remarkably understanding when it comes to mechanical. That is not my experience with customs. Customs, I'm trying not to go off on this and just start myself, but customs is the least responsive and least courteous of all the federal agencies. Now, this little pocket of it here around the seaplane bases may be a little bit different, but my experience was in Michigan, flying in from Canada, had to divert to an airport, Midland, Michigan, which is a landing rights airport, which is different than a port of entry. A landing rights airport will have customs available by request. You set it up, you meet them there, and they clear you and you're good to go. A port of entry, you can enter any time, although I assume you have to use the pre-arrangement. And since 9/11, it's been much more strict and much worse. Anyway, to make a long story short, we landed at Midland. We were fined $15,000. It was one for the airplane and two and 5,000 each for the people in it. And it was a complete fiasco. Customs was completely uncooperative and absolutely hostile about the whole thing, even though I had made all the arrangements that I could. We eventually mitigated this fine to something more reasonable. But the point is, in my experience, they don't give an inch. They're very rigid about it. And they're very aggressive about it. As far as the choice here, I would raise this question. It gets to be problematical when you're making a safety of flight decision based on what you think another agency is going to do or enforcement issues. And correct me if I'm wrong on this, but if you land an amphibian on a runway with a faulty gear, damage fairly minimal and the likelihood of personal injury or anything really untoward is kind of low. So that makes Bangor somewhat attractive to me. Plus, it's a port of entry. Plus, it's going to have repair facilities. So if I were going to go for the Greenville option, I would be 100% absolutely airtight that customs is okay with this. However, I have to do that through flight service or through air traffic control, cell phone, whatever. I would just want to know that that's been set up and they agree to it.
Well, it's like I'm not going to compromise on an aeronautical decision based on what I think some bureaucrat is going to, how they're going to read the rules. And this one, you know, it's true. You're absolutely right about, you know, these floats have a certain protection built into them for exactly this purpose of landing on a hard surface. It really doesn't do a huge amount of damage. But the calculation that you're going to have to make is that you don't get to split the difference. You know, the manual is very clear that if you can't get, you know, all the gear are down and locked, if you can't confirm that, your only option is to pull them back up and land gear up intentionally. You know, because it's landing gear down or with partial gear down is what really creates the jeopardy. That's when it could overturn. That's when it could do substantial damage. So with the float builders, procedure is to pull all the gear up, land on the keels, and take what you get. You know, I think as the pilot in command on this one, I'm flying a float plane. I know the wheels are up. I'm going to land in the water. And it's just, which water are you going to land in?
So if you had it to do over again, would you, in the scenario where
I would go to Greenville, and as a matter of fact, when I did get to the dock and I was telling the Customs and Border Patrol guy about how treacherous this dock really is in these sort of conditions, he was saying that, well, I'm kind of glad you didn't go to Greenville because that would have meant a longer drive for me. And it's like, sorry, you'd be on the clock longer. We'd go, you know, 15 miles to Greenville or whatever the distance is. But all the way when I was worried about running aground, getting stranded, you know, a couple hundred yards offshore with a punctured float, you know, I was just thinking that I had made the wrong choice. The right choice would be the sound aeronautical and nautical decision of landing in a lake that's going to be safe.
That's interesting that you say that you actually told them and their response was just, oh man, I'm glad I didn't have to drive to Greenville, and not, man, I'm glad I didn't have to give you a $15,000 fine. But I do have to say that my experience with CBP at that border, they are literally the nicest CBP people I've ever met. I don't know what it is about that station. So for the record, that may not be typical behavior across the board.
First, Dave owes a full explanation for why he's got a Super Cub up at 7,500 feet. I haven't heard that explanation yet, but we'll just presume that he has a reason to be up in the nosebleed section in the Super Cub. Maybe the way you hedge yourself here with CBP is declare an emergency. You don't want to land with a partial gear or without full confirmation that the gear is either all the way up or all the way down. A partially configured aircraft is much worse than either full up or full down. I wouldn't take any risk of landing this thing on pavement. I'd put it in the water, and I'm not going to take the risk of banging up my floats on rocks. And just to protect myself against CBP, I'm going to declare an emergency. And then maybe I have some top cover if they decide to get squirrely with me.
As one who's had some experience dealing with CBP, and not always good, I got a question for Paul. Was that prior to 9/11 at Midland, Michigan, or post 9/11?
Prior to 9/11. You know what the incident was, and I didn't know about it, was the 1986 Drug Enforcement Act. That's what caused all the problem.
Right. Most of the flying I did where I interfaced with these people was at the major airports, and they tend to be very rigid and not compromising at all. Everything's got to be, the I's have to be dotted, the T's have to be crossed. Passengers have to have their visas, and visas have to be in order. And of course, if anything's out of order, they're going to look at the pilot in command, and you've got a problem. So it's important that if you did go to Greenville, you're sure that that's acceptable to customs. My immediate reaction was land the airplane at Bangor on the keels and be done with it. That's what the insurance company's for, and go from there.
Anyone else landing at Bangor?
Yeah, I would.
Paul would too. Call them, you know you can land there, put it on the keels, they come out, pick it up, drive home.
I got a Vemco on speed dial.
So the judgment is less about aeronautical decision making in the airplane and more about customs and border protection. I'm with Dave on this. I put it in the water, explain later. Richard may have a point in that it can't hurt to have a declared emergency. It's kind of a stretch here, but it could be a declared emergency. But declaring an emergency allows us to violate any federal air regulation. It doesn't extend that to other federal regulatory agencies. I agree that with a prior very bad experience like Paul had, that I might also be spring-loaded to say, hey, Avemco, you deal with this. It's cheaper to deal with that than it is to deal with Customs and Border Protection. I still would default to the aeronautical decision-making and not the Customs and Border Protection decision-making process. But maybe I'm just too trusting.
Michael, did you still want something you wanted to add there?
So just to really support Dave in that it's just not in my DNA to try to ever scratch an airplane willingly. So I would go to Greenville. If I had plenty of fuel, I'd stay up there and I would talk to as many people as I could to try to get in touch with Customs and Border Protection before I could make an attempt to landing. So I'd exhaust all avenues and make sure I heard while I was still in the airplane, yes, they said you're good to go, and I would land in the water. But if I didn't, I would still put it in the water. Absolutely.
Just to answer Richard's question, smooth air and a tailwind up at 7,500. That's why I went there. And also, everybody who flies a retractable gear airplane has got to, think about these situations. And Richard brought it up before that it's better to land up with, all up or all down. If you're not sure, don't try it. With the Avemco fans out there who are saying, just land with the gear up, let somebody else deal with it. I cringe just thinking about damaging an airplane when I don't have to. And how silly would I feel if it turned out that the problem was really a sensor? If it was a faulty sensor and I decide I'm going to land with all the wheels up, and I'm going to go scrape the keels and throw sparks and shut down a runway. And then I come to find out later that the landing gear really would come down. That's going to be a bitter pill to swallow.
And Paul, you had a comment too.
Yeah, I was going to comment on a couple things. What Richard said about declaring the emergency, absolutely pro forma do it, because the first thing Customs will ask you, did you declare an emergency? Or why didn't you declare an emergency? And they're not going to be cool with, oh, it was just an inconvenience. They're not going to buy that. So yeah, I want the emergency declaration. I want it on tape somewhere for one thing. And then as far as the not denting the ego by not denting an airplane, I got over that a long time ago. So to me, the reasoning is the same as if you had to do a gear up landing, an intentional gear up landing, unavoidable. Would you shut the engine off? I'm from let the engine run and I'll land this thing and walk away from the wreckage and let the insurance company deal with it. I don't think there is any percentage in trying to save the airplane just to save your own ego or to save the insurance company money. That's why you have insurance.
Note to listeners of pilot workshops, don't lend your airplane to Paul Bertarelli. I guess it's like, I want it back in one piece.
Just make sure your insurance is paid up. That's the key. That's definitely the key.
You guys are killing me because we're trying to do some work to figure out why all our insurance rates are going up. And I'm suddenly realizing why all our insurance rates are going up. It's Bertarelli.
Everyone's insurance rates are going up because they're prioritizing safety of flight. And, maybe if that were really the reason, maybe I'd be okay with that. But, take away from this scenario that way, even if you're not a seaplane pilot, even if you're not flying retractable gear airplanes, sort of stepping back is this idea, like, how do you prioritize a squishy situation where it's like, this is an emergency, maybe it's not an emergency. I have a landing option, well, this one's not really good, that one's not really good, which evil is the lesser evil? And a lot of it's going to be based on experience because, you, Dave, you chose A. And then after you had actually lived A, now you're choosing B. I would never do that again. That was a horrible mistake. And, luckily nothing was damaged during that mistake. And you got to take it away and say, hey, I would do it differently. But so maybe that is something to think about here, something when you're cruising along at 7,500 feet with a tailwind and, you know, got some time thinking about the systems that are in your airplane. What would I do if the gear, only one gear didn't come down in this situation, or something else would happen in this situation? Take those opportunities to run those scenarios when it's easy, so you can really think it through. And if you actually really do end up in this situation, you can make the best decision and the best priorities based on your experience that's possible.